Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 249. My name is Andy, and I play Circle of Orboros.
Wow.
What?
Wow. And I actually won my first game with them, with my own built list.
Was just it? Remember, Andy, everyone gets their first game.
Everyone gets their first game.
Is this a CID build or CID list or no?
No, no. Uh-huh. This was a Mark 1 list.
Seriously,
it was a Mark 1 list. I'll go into it a little bit later. And I also play Guild Ball.
I'm Dan, and I play Crucible Guard.
And I'm Dave, and...
What do you play this week?
I have been asked to play Kador this week, so apparently I play Kador.
Fair enough.
At some point, though, I'm going to play Legion, because I'm really looking forward to getting Hellmouths on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Nick has the right idea.
So to quickly go over my Circle experience, I had hand-built a list just because I wanted to play with a lot of World Wardens.
Which, as it turns out, are really good now.
World Wardens are awesome. Yeah. I mean, they're still a little pillow-fisted, so I mean, you have to take a two-point model in order to make them better.
Oh, yeah. Counting the necessary support, they're not that pillow-fisted.
Correct. But I mean, before, when Mark III started off, you didn't have those Stone Shapers, those Black-Eyed Stone Shapers. They were too expensive.
Well, they also gained a point when they went strength when they went through the bones stuff.
Yeah,
they got cheaper and gained a maximum of 3 strength.
Yeah. So yeah, they're fucking awesome.
And they have the best gun attached to a war beast.
Telekinesis.
Yeah. Even better than
that. That gun is also called sometimes Earth Spikes or sometimes called Chain Lightning.
That's the if you're playing with Kruger 2, it's the best gun in the game because it has the best shot types, those being Telekinesis, Lightning Storm, and Gallows.
Yeah. So yeah, I basically played an alternate version of a Mark 1 list. Basically, Mark 1 was pretty much you play Kruger with as many wardens as possible. So you would just hit your opponent with, 6 different chain lightnings and just evaporate whatever's on the field. So you're basically playing Nemo.
The days of fully boosted electro leaps.
Yeah, those days. I just remember because Fool ended up trying just a World Warden Earth Spikes list, and it worked out fairly well for him too.
Well, yes, at that point it's Krios 1, but you have to roll the hit
for your correct feet. Correct,
but it's every turn.
But so I took on Nick's Striker 2, which was a pretty solid build. A Striker 2 with 2 fucking units of his Cav, old Rowdy, a Lancer, the stupid Stormblades. I think they're Stormblades.
Yeah, he does double Cav.
Stormblades are the storm single wound dudes that actually get taken.
Yeah, they get the they have range shots too.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, the other ones do something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Storm noun shit.
The other ones, the other ones collect dust is what they do.
But I was able to really protect my army with Baldur's Feet and then utilizing my stones and stuff to prevent charge lanes. And then his rapid growth to block charge lanes as well. I was able to pull off a nice assassination on Stryker when he thought he was in cover, and Nick forgot that Earth Spikes doesn't care about cover. And a teleporting World Warden doesn't care about cover either.
Yeah.
Know what I learned this week?
Was that?
It really sucks when you triple ones on Sylvestro's feet.
That's how the final downfall came when.
Well, that was one. Yeah, so I missed Davis. 3 attacks on Sylvester's feet during an assassination run against a caster that was -6.
Yeah, so. It sounded like he basically needed a handbag full of miracles in order for him to take you out.
And he got it.
And he definitely got it.
Yeah, I mean. I could have easily, instead of the second Stygian Abyss that was more or less irrelevant, I could have just clouded and then I would have been fine. But I just went in all in on probably a 75-80% instead, and then rolled the miss.
There's a lot going on outside of my my house right now. I don't know if it's even being picked up on the audio, but there's a lot of crying kids and car alarms going off.
And a guitar.
There's a guitar?
Yeah.
I missed that part. But
it seemed to be a good time when we came in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I normally live in a quiet neighborhood. Unfortunately, a lot of kids out. So we got some upcoming events.
Yeah,
coming
we got
up
the big
on
one.
The last of the Milwaukee Super Series is this coming Saturday.
I will not make it. I will be playing in the Chaos Cup instead.
And that's also the WTC.
That's true.
Which is the big one.
Oh, that's that one is truly more of the big one.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's interesting, mostly because it's kept Keith from doing any of the Super Series, so that's been helpful to my score.
And also, after the WTC hits, we will probably get the Retribution errata shortly afterwards.
Correct. I would expect it to be not this week, but next week.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of my expectation, is that it'll be not this coming Wednesday, but next Wednesday.
Something like that.
Do they do erratas on Wednesday still?
They've done them Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's really no rhyme to reason.
That one is when everything is put together.
Yep.
I mean, they're not going to the WTC, so it's possible it might just show up on Monday.
That's true. They did do that 1 year, WITC or ATC.
Yeah.
Where they knew to hold and then released it basically when Pagani got into the office that morning.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it because people need to appreciate Forshade because he's finally coming out now.
Yeah, but who knows how much... Who knows how much he's going to be the same from the CID? It would be great to see the look on your face when he's released and nothing's changed on him.
Well, yeah, I think he's going to get... my bet is, if anything, he'll get buffed from the last week of CID because I read through the battle reports and he didn't really do all that great in the battle reports. And so I'm personally, because I'm a terrible person, I'm hoping that they look at that and say, well, maybe he needs a little bit more. Because, spoiler alert, he doesn't need anything more.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. I'm already making sure I have an anti-cloud strategy in at least one of my lists.
You see, this is the beautiful thing about Forshade, and this is one of the things I learned. And when I randomly picked doing one list into one list and played into Legion, so I realized that he has game even into an army that everything can see through your cloud wall because he does so much stuff in addition to the cloud wall.
It's fine. I remove all your stats anyways. Like, with Crucible Guard, I've gotten to the point where I've stopped learning actual model stats because they're never true anymore.
For other people or for your army?
For both.
Okay.
The amount of times I've removed defense, knocked defense by like 8.
No.
It's like with Sylvestro, I can basically pull off the Denny trick, but with defense instead of armor. Because blind plus 2 ice cages and...
Yeah.
And even if you can't be made stationary, you can still have your defense lowered to 1.
Yes.
How far away can you do the ice cages? Is it still 10? Is it 10 or 8?
13
inches. 12 inches from the 12-inch plus AoE drift for the Alchemist or 15 for the suppressors when I need it.
Oh, so it's ice cage is not like just a single target. It's an AoE?
An AoE or a spray.
Yeah, the AoE
that doesn't need to directly hit.
Yeah, the AoE on the Combat Alchemist is amazing because you can guarantee.
Like, do you
hits.
Feel the call, Andy? Do you feel the call of an even more obnoxious Gorman?
God damn it! Do I need a faction where I can get drifts and still problem? I need.
I mean, I think I need
this faction.
Yeah, that is. I mean, literally at ten inches away, it cannot possibly miss.
Yeah.
It's a good
I love it when things tell when it's an AoE and it says it's only got a 14-inch range. It's like, no, it doesn't. That thing's got a
it
nice.
It can touch 18 and a half.
It's yeah.
With a good drift.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I might have to get some Crucible Guard. I'll have to go down Pegasus and see what I can get.
Apparently, they have
a lot
of Prosperos.
Get one of their 9 Prosperos that they have.
I've stopped trying. Like, I can only point it out so many times.
Yeah, well, it turns out I talked to them a little bit about it, and it just ended up had 2 different people ordering from 2 different locations.
Okay, that at least
and there was no communication between the two.
Sure,
different
that at
people.
Least makes sense.
But yeah. So yeah, also coming news, we might have a painting contest over at Pegasus Games to celebrate the release of the Crucible Guard.
The Prospero Off.
The Prospero Off.
Actually, he looks like a fun model to paint, so I could pick up a second one for painting purposes.
I'm thinking of actually doing that to see if we can try to push. I mean, they're only like 15,
yeah,
is he?
It's not much. He's not that much. And he actually is surprisingly large, so you can do some cool things with it.
Yeah.
Or we'll see like five C-3POs because we're all lazy.
Oh, the headless one. So I could celebrate one of the greatest movies of all time.
No.
Attack of the Clones. You know you like it.
It is my second favorite of the prequels.
What's your favorite of the prequels?
I still think Revenge of the Sith is better than it.
Yeah. Revenge of the Sith was the only one of the prequels that was not.
Most of the flaws of that movie are caused by Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, that was. Attack of the Clones was bad. The Phantom Menace was aggressively mediocre. And Revenge of the Sith was okay.
Yeah, I consider the Attack or Phantom Menace as being the best of the three.
No,
it's the most watchable for me, at least. Like the opening sequence of Revenge of the Sith is pretty cool with the giant space battle sequence. That was cool, but that fucking 45-minute lightsaber duel over lava. And that bothers the fuck out of me because I know how lava works.
Yeah, Arctic Circle
but
says
this is space lava.
Yeah, Arctic Circle says the Phantom Menace had two of the best characters that got wasted. So you haven't seen Solo then?
That's got to be on Netflix.
Best characters
soon.
That got wasted. What was the best? Well, I mean, obviously Darth Maul was cool, but
I mean, I'm assuming that's Darth Maul and Qui-Gon Jinn.
He was shit. There was nothing redeemable about Qui-Gon Jinn.
I don't know.
He was also he was a horrible Jedi as well too.
I mean, he's the living embodiment of chaotic good.
throw a little chaotic evil in there as well, because as being he was not upstanding for he cheated.
Like I said, the living embodiment of chaotic good.
He's just
a good
boring.
Result happened, but bad methods were used.
I would consider most Jedi supposedly having to be more lawful good than. Than anything.
Correct. Or like Yoda, who is flat out lawful neutral.
Yes. Or neutral evil.
No, he's flat out lawful neutral. The code is more important than anyone's life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking Qui-Gon Jinn. He's a piece of shit. I don't like him. I really don't. They should have combined. Basically,
Can I see Catbug for a second?
What?
Can I see Catbug for a second?
Why? What are you going to do to him?
Just.
All right.
Show me on the Catbug doll where Qui-Gon Jinn touched you.
Like right here in the head. Just hurt me in the head. Yeah, man.
Okay, go see Solo.
It's got to be on Netflix.
Yeah, it's got to be coming out soon. I mean, it flopped at the box office. It wasn't that bad.
It didn't flop that bad in there, but it was. It's a good film. It was just, I don't think we needed it.
It was not a great film. It was unnecessary, but I didn't think it deserved a lot of the criticism it got because it's just, I don't know, what are you really expecting? It's going to be a heist film. It's going to be a heist film, and I think this was one of the things that people really seem to miss with the original trilogy is that Han Solo is dumb. That I mean, he's occasionally clever and he's lucky more than anything else, but he's not a particularly smart character and never has been. And so when he keeps doing dumb stuff in the movie, it's like, yeah. And when he was younger, he was dumber. No shit.
I just
actually home releases like this week. So
yeah, I figured it was going to be fairly soon.
So I'd say Netflix is going to be on pretty soon.
I mean, Deadpool 2 is already out on video.
Didn't that come out in February?
Yeah, it was. When was Solo? Was it May?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Never mind. There was something recently that's already in the theaters though. Oh, the Avengers is already.
Yeah.
That was like 2 weeks before.
Wait, are you saying Money Grab the movie was released to home theaters and home video as quickly as possible?
Possibly. Did you guys see the crippled system video of Spider-Man?
No.
Yeah, it was just I shared a post from Stan Winston things. Stan Winston's school. And it was just a person opening up a case of Spider-Man. I was like, this game is really short. And they just dumping out a bunch of dust from the
disc. So I'm apparently out of the loop, but what's with the new Spider-Man game that has everyone memeing it?
What do you mean? I don't know what the meme is.
I don't know either. I don't click on those particular Reddit links. I was just confused because I've seen many of them.
I know that there was some supposed controversy about Puddlegate.
Okay, there's apparently supposed about controversy Puttgate? About everything now.
Yeah, well, Puddlegate was because they...
Puddlegate.
Yeah, some of the early releases and such had differences in graphics from what they showed at the E3. But it just turns out it was just more lighting issues and where people were actually taking photographs of the game were.
Yeah.
They were comparing side-by-side sequences with the release footage at E3, and they noticed that there was less puddles in the new version of it.
The fuck is wrong with this country?
I mean, they were claiming it was like a graphics downgrade, like Watch Dogs. Like originally when Watch Dogs was released, some of the shots that they showed at E3, it was significantly less graphics. And Spider-Man, it really just wasn't the case at all. It's really just more of just how, where the lighting source was at the time.
I mean, don't you just be like, it's procedurally generated puddles.
Well, people thought it was just, you know, that's Sony was trying to cut down on graphics processing.
I don't know.
By
I mean,
cutting
it's like
out the puddles.
Yeah, the last two games I've played are World of Warcraft and Dead Cells, and I mean, I think
no money was spent on graphics for either of those.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could run both of those on a fairly modern toaster.
Yeah, probably. I mean, my computer still runs WoW pretty good, and I think it's a 2011. I mean,
yeah.
In fact, I just got done doing the Warfront today.
Oh, how was that?
The Warfront? It was actually pretty cool. Yeah, I'm writing down so I don't have to listen to it later.
Crippled system. So bad, not even we listen to it.
I have to listen to it every week so I can make up a thing. So you find out when I'm too lazy to do it is when there is no list of topics throughout the whole thing.
Or when it's really accurate the entire way through.
Yeah. Yeah. It's usually I
often when you take notes, you stop taking them halfway through.
Oh, this? Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
I was like, you forgot two whole sections before Zappy Grumbles, but I don't care enough to actually tell you.
Well, you should tell me then. If you do listen to it, then let me know and I'll update it. We used to have somebody do it for us all the time, but then they stopped listening to us like everyone else has.
Whatever happened to Pip?
I'm friends with him on Facebook. I see his updates once in a while. He's doing other things more important than listening to Crippled System and writing all the notes. But no, I did the Warfront. That finally opened up for the Horde today. And it's kind of cool. It's it's basically like you were playing Warcraft.
Yeah.
But you're playing Warcraft. You're like playing Warcraft 3. Like you're building up a barracks, you're going to a place, tearing it down, you know, attacking other places.
So like what they tried to say you were doing during Draenor.
More like Wintergrasp, if you remember that. Wintergrasp was Lich King, where you had to go and take like certain parts and then build siege tanks and then go siege the major place. Except for this is all PvE. I guess you can also do it potentially as PvP.
Interesting.
But it's all really PvE and fucking I don't know.
Arctic Circle says so. WoW has gone full circle. It's been in a pure circle mode for a while now, because basically the last expansion Legion was basically Burning Crusade 2.
Well, he's going further back and saying it's now looped back on Warcraft 3.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, this is kind of that. I mean, Legion was in many ways Burning Crusade 2, because it was like, okay, we got
Warlords is more Burning Crusade 2.
Okay, Warlords is more Burning Crusade 2.
Well, yes, because I mean, it's the same damn map.
Yeah, it's the same damn map, same damn everything. I mean, it's like literally the same world, just an alternate timeline. And then Legion. Well,
no, it's the same world, but with color.
Well, there was a lot of color in there.
Well, there was color in Burning Crusade. Hellfire there was just one of them per zone.
Correct, yeah. And they were all very muted.
Hellfire Peninsula was just red.
Yeah.
Zanger Marsh was just blue.
Yeah.
Negrand was green.
God, I hated Hellfire Peninsula because I would, I mean, I would have to stop playing after a while because it made my eyes hurt. And I mean, that was one of the distinct memories because at the time I got a large monitor and I was playing it for a while and I got up and because I was staring at the screen that was that horrible, hideous reddish orange that then I had this bluish purple rectangle in my vision when I stood up. God, I hated that zone. I mean, at least the blue in Zanger Marsh was a little more soothing.
I wish that they had redone.
And the Fell Reaver just fucking stomped on you for no fucking reason.
Anyway. I swear to God, that thing was bigger when it, don't you remember the Fell Reaver being fucking huge when you were in that zone? And then you come back to that zone later and he's not as big. I think they cut that effect down. It's processing power. They needed all that processing power for other zones, so they could
puddles
and pets
and puddles and pets. Yes, I really wish in Warlords that they would have redone another storm, because that is it. That's probably my favorite zone in all of BC. It was severely disappointing when my friend and I went through and started leveling our two new characters.
Yeah,
and under the new system, that should have been accessed earlier. Basically, when you hit 60, you should have been able to go to like Netherstorm, but it was actually gated still until you're like 67.
So. Yeah. Now that.
How dare they?
Yeah, that was I had leveled a couple of characters after Kata hit, and because I mean I don't know, most people hated Cataclysm. I liked it because
it's
like
angry at the dam.
Because they
the Dwarven Dam.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that thing.
I like jumping off it.
But because
think about Thousand Needles for us Horde. That sucked.
Yeah, you already made a bad choice.
But yeah, I mean, in Cataclysm, they made a lot of the old world zones like more pleasant to level through, and then you got to level 60 and got back to Burning Crusade, and it's like, God, this sucks.
Yes, yes, it does.
Yeah, going through Hellfire Peninsula is. I've done it way too many times.
There's a reason I paid an extra like $30 for Legion to just skip all just of skip that shit. But because I actually I made it all the way through Classic. Then I'm like, oh, Burning Crusade, fuck it.
Yeah.
But I mean, Northrend is actually not too bad. At least you have two starting points you can choose from. Pandaland, actually.
Northrend, it was just basically. So I mean, the original Classic was terrible.
It was 60 to 70 grind. Yeah. Still sucks. And there's still not a good way around that.
I mean, the classic
go
zones.
Go straight to Northrend now.
Yeah.
So if you're leveling, you can go basically 1 through.
Oh,
50,
that's right. You can skip that.
And then you could just skip BC and go straight to Northrend.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean the classic zones. I mean, before Cataclysm, the old world were all terrible.
Well, yeah,
and like, then Burning Crusade wasn't really any better. Burning Crusade, if anything, was worse than the original one. And then they fixed the old world. And so if you play through that, you go through the old world, which is fine now. And then you hit Hellfire Peninsula, which is a flaming bag of shit. I mean, there's even the quest where you're in the flaming bag of shit, having to pick through demon hound shit.
Yeah, to get your cherries so you can breathe underwater. That whole actually that's like a theme in like every expansion since then, is where you have to sift through shit to get some kind of fucking item. Somebody who's building the quests over at Blizzard thought that would be an entertaining thing to do.
I mean, it's a Blizzard quest chain. You take a joke and you drive it into the ground.
Yeah.
That's like the Hemet Nessuaries.
I mean, that joke's even in Diablo, so.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do we have anything else to talk about?
And that was announcements.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, War Machine Weekend's coming up, too. War Machine Weekend, Gamehole Con over in Madison, Wisconsin is the week after.
Yep.
And then Who's the Boss sometime in December, which I have to nail down a date.
And then ATC in January.
Yep.
And we should even have the ACC website back up pretty soon, too.
It's up.
That's true. The website is up, which means then we should get stuff actually published pretty soon.
Yeah, it was up that night.
Yep.
So just had to wait for DNS to propagate.
I mean, for the rest of us, it was up like 3 hours earlier, but...
Not for me.
I know. That's weird.
It was really... Well, it's just... That's how DNS propagation works. I have to wait
for it to... Well, I guess.
It sucked. I tried, ended up using two other DNS recursive servers so I can get out there. So I tried using Google's, and Google didn't like how it was being presented. It kept on giving me a security error trying to get to the site. And then I finally ended up using OpenDNS, and I got through with that instead of using TDS's name servers.
I'm still confused why you even had TDS's name servers to begin with, but I suppose you like work on them, so.
There's no reason not to have them. I mean,
Charter where their DNS servers often went down, so even after I switched to TDS, I never switched off of 8888.
TDS's name servers are actually pretty, I mean, yeah. we're talking about local stuff here, but
yeah, Charter's often went down for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a while, to the point where I just switched everything to use OpenDNS, and then it worked a lot better.
Our name servers are, and our DNS servers in general, are very solid. I can't remember the last time.
I was shocked how Charter could have them go down, but I then gave up.
They're easy target because they're large, too, so they can...
Well, they're large and hated, so...
Correct. For also that reason, too, is their shit goes down, so...
It's a vicious cycle.
Yep.
So, I don't know if we have any listeners from Kentucky, but if you're a Kentucky fan, yesterday was awesome because the Kentucky football team snapped a 31 game losing streak against Florida.
I mean, there was that, and then what I see also, the Browns finally broke their losing streak in the NFL.
And they, because they didn't win.
Way.
Who'd they beat?
No, they tied.
They tied. Yeah, I mean, they did better than they did all last season. Speaking of that, so the HBO's, I don't know if you could, you don't sport.
No.
Okay, damn it. So the HBO's Hard Knocks was centered on the Browns this season. So they're all talking about, they're trying to break the streak and et cetera, et cetera. Turns out every single character, every single person that they centered on for the documentary all got cut.
Nice.
Cloudflare I don't like because Nick suggested about Cloudflare as a super solid DNS. The reason why I don't like Cloudflare is just basic lookups on it. They don't allow it, so it makes my job annoying when I have to go and actually do more work into looking up names or zone records. I was just looking up the Twitters and that. Do you guys have anything else?
Not really.
Nothing new?
It's been a quiet week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, CID2 popped out for the Tharn.
Yeah.
And it looks like that basically everything that was in week one got better in week two. I didn't just really see much changes other than just shit got better again.
There were some decent tweaks to things. Lord of the Feast is still confused.
I wouldn't say he's confused. I mean, he's pretty solid right now.
I don't think Nathan has ever noticed it yet, but on our Twitter page, I have updated the background pic to be Nathan caught in the cage.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I think the Lord of the Feast is a pretty decent solo, and with his strange teleport, he's going to be really good at hunting support solos.
I mean, he's always been good at that, but
yeah, but I mean, now he's actually playable, so he'll actually be used to hunt support solos. And I mean, that's the you can use your theme benefit to load him with corpses to start with, and then he's what, arm 19,
and you won't be taking the death wells at that point.
Yeah,
I'm okay with all of this part on.
I mean, I think the big thing I'm concerned about in CID, and I say this having not putting a list on the table yet, is I am a huge fan of Treewalker, and I played in Kador. I absolutely love it in Circle. And I am concerned that all of the abilities that Iona has that stack with Treewalker, like being able to put it on being able to put Surefoot on Ravagers, making them so they're already tough. Then in Treewalker, they go up to Def 17, and they can't be knocked down because of Surefoot. And they get Elite Cadre Dodge from Iona. And I am concerned that, A, that's a bit too much, and B, that it's too much of a power level swing depending on how many forests are on the table.
Yeah.
That's my primary concern with the CID right now. Everything else looks good.
Counterpoint, isn't one of the lists you want to play a Blessed Double Signs Important Adjudicator?
Yeah.
I mean, then Ravagers go bye-bye.
Yeah. But
I think the big thing is there's still some pretty decent counters. Hard armor is still a problem for Iona. Spell denial is a problem for Iona if it can remove upkeeps. And it's also going to be really swingy just because if the center blocking terrain is a building or a cloud, that list gets much worse.
That's what I'm saying. That is probably my biggest concern is that Iona is too swingy based on table layout.
There's other casters like that though too.
Certainly, I abuse the hell out of one of them, but I'm not so sure how good it is from a game design perspective. Andy looks confused, and that is specifically.
No, I'm not confused. It's just more so you just bring your own terrain block. Hmm? With your four fucking Kodiaks.
Oh no, I was
talking about Urus.
I was talking about Urus too. How I mean my win against the WTC player at the Wisconsin Team Championship was because I told my captain it's like put me on the table that has a forest in the center.
Yeah, actually, the Kodiak brick might not even work anymore if all the anti-clod stuff that's popping up now.
It may or may not because
it's the Cator heavies you have to deal with.
It's mm-hmm. if you have to have both anti-cloud wall tech and be able
armor
to
cracking
and armor list. Cracking, which it's Harkovich is still fairly unique that he's the cloud wall that has really hard armor behind it. Although Foreshade may give him a run for that. Hmm. But yeah, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. I like the swinginess of having forest versus not, and I kind of think Iona would work better if she had rapid growth instead of Surefoot, or basically some ability to trigger Treewalker, so mm-hmm. she to remove that swinginess based on terrain. And mm-hmm. Arctic Circle says CID is actually being really good to Tharn. Oh God, yes.
Question mark.
Going to actually show up on non-snowflake tables.
Yeah. Yeah, Tharn is still a little below average in terms of armor cracking per point spent, but, I mean, that's kind of necessary because they're good at just about everything else. Tharn Ravagers still mulch light infantry.
They can charge at 15s or, I think, 17 or 18s in multiple cases. So I mean, it's good enough.
Yeah, I mean, Ravagers under Iona's feet do significant 18s. Damage.
I mean,
yeah.
Or Curse of Shadows, or they got another one in there somewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, they still have the mini feat that gives them super berserk and overtake. And so I mean, they munch infantry. Blood Pack are. Interesting now, they went down to 15 points for 6.
Instead of 21.
Yeah.
They have Hunter and Range 12, POW 14.
Hunter ignores...
And Reposition.
Cover and Kill.
Yeah, and they got Reposition too, didn't they?
Maybe. I don't know.
Blood Pack are not... They're in a situation where they're not... They're not oh my god amazing, but they're just really efficient for their point costs.
They have Arcing Fire is the other thing they have for the bows, I think.
Yeah.
That's the guys you traded to me.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. I like it.
Hey, I said I actually paid you this time.
I mean the big problem they have right now is that there's a limited number of stuff in Circle that synergizes all that well with shooting. Although I say that, and the maybe people will take the Argus Moonhound now, But just because, I mean, the circle has a lot of ways to boost strength and stuff like that, but relatively few ways to boost the damage of shooting. So, I mean, they're just...
We need to summon John for part two of the Mosar shenanigans.
Yeah, to my mind, Blood Pack are in this situation where they're really point efficient, but they're fair. And the question is, how much room is there for fair models in the competitive War Machine?
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely should get John on to...
He's done with the Iron Man as of...
Yeah, I thought I saw
a few hours ago.
Yeah.
Arctic Circle says, did they fix the corpse mechanic on them? No, and I'm still sad about that. But at the point value they're at,
they
don't
say
need
in
it.
One of the dev talks, though, that the corpse mechanic on them does not count towards their points in the same way that it does on the Ravagers, because they know it's there for a story and fluff perspective more than a gameplay perspective.
Yeah.
So they have acknowledged that, like, for instance, it does not count as much into the costing of the unit as, you know, on the infantry, the melee ones, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with the melee ones, it's super berserk.
Correct.
With the blood pack, it's no longer does anything useful.
It's unjamming ability.
Yeah. But no, they're just very efficient. They're going to be very good in heavily forested tables with Hunter and Tree Walker means that that you can't gain any benefit against them with a forest.
I mean, the other thing is playing Stormtroopers and Crucible Guard has shown me, too, that if you just drop five or six POW 14s on a caster, they just sometimes drop dead. So yeah. Morvana 2 will just randomly kill people.
Yeah.
Because you'll be like, well, I censure it off your upkeep, and then I shoot you six times. And oh, look, all those things roll nines instead of sevens because of rerolls.
Yep.
Yeah, I've not played Morvana at all. I avoided her like a plague at the beginning because, well, that was what everybody went to.
Yeah, I put together a couple of Morvana 2 lists in the CID that have two units of Blood Pack and a Moonhound. And at that point, the Blood Pack are really good at killing casters.
Moonhound is the one with Doppler bark?
Yes.
No, that's Wild Argus has Doppler bark.
The Moonhound just has a mark target.
Yeah, the Moonhound.
Oh, okay.
The Moonhound has mark target and hunting howls, which strips stealth.
Okay.
It is a fantastic support piece for shooting. And
just throw a blood shark green in there at that point too.
Yeah.
So I think I have like the amount of dogs I have, I could run the Kaya.
You could do the stupid Crump List.
Yeah, I could do. I have so many dogs. Oh my god. If there's a list here, you could have like 13 Sentry Stones. I could do that too.
Let's see what else is happening in the CID. Blood Trackers get a new Nuala gives them a mini feat that lets them change their prey target, which is amazing.
That is a really cool ability.
Yeah. The well dropped 5 points.
Yeah, the well went down to 10 points, which means I think that you run them in a lot of lists.
Well is the immovable building object.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brigid
who also has a range 14 gun now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
High explosive. the thing the Earthbreaker shot has.
Mm-hmm.
So is it a torpedo? Well, it's a sinkhole.
And it can damage itself to boost. So
yeah.
Yeah. So it's good.
And it's a construct, so you could fix it.
Yeah.
With like shifting stones.
Yeah. And you get to summon a free solo once per game.
Yep.
Any solo?
Yeah, any 5-pointer lower non character circle solo.
Yeah.
So stone shapers just shit out of it?
Once per game.
No, all right.
I mean, basically,
don't do somebody better than a stone shaper then,
unless that is what is needed to win.
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah. That I mean that's the other the thing about it is that you can pick. So you have options there. Like you can drop a Tharn White Mane just for the veteran leader bonus.
Yeah.
You can drop a Tharn Shaman if you need magic weapons.
You can put a Black Clad Wafer in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I haven't paid any attention to the building at all because I figure that building is not the. Sometimes the problem with CID for me is it sometimes includes stuff that's not even out.
Yeah.
So I have no desire to play it because I don't have a proxy for it. If I want to go to a tournament, I can't take it with me.
Like I will accept the second one, but you not having proxy models.
Huh? No, I try not to have proxy models most of the time.
That is a different statement than I don't have proxy models.
Oh, well, that's true. I do have proxy models I could use for them, but But you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean, okay. But Nathan isn't here, and someone has to be a pedantic asshole every so often.
God damn it.
Also, one of the other neat things in the CID is Brigid and Call, who are a Tharn character unit.
I thought they were dumb until I saw their defensive stats. Now they're dumb for a different reason.
I mean, the big thing is that it's like you stack all of the bonuses they have. So it's basically as long as you can keep Brigid alive, Call is a heavy war beast.
Correct. Who's complete with heavy war beast stats.
Yeah.
He's like 14, 17 base.
He's 14, 17. He has Heart Eater, so you can put tokens on him. He gets up to Powell.
17 or something like that. If you stack everything,
yeah. If you stack everything, I think it's 17 base, and then under Iona's feet, he goes up to 20.
Yeah,
and you get a charge attack, and then can buy 3 more attacks. Hmm. So he's
okay.
Yeah, he is just extremely efficient, but at the same time, he's a medium base model with 8 wounds, so you can kill him. But if he gets to do work, it'll be worth it. I think if there's anything else interesting in the CID. I mean, my feel of this is that Devourer's Host is going to be competitive under Iona, under Morvana 2, and under Wormwood, and probably some other casters. Balder 1 on the outside. Both
Krugers can run it if they choose.
Yeah, Kruger 1, definitely. I mean, the issue with Kruger 2 is you're not playing him in Bones. And Kruger 2, you can play Kruger 2 in anything and he'll be fine. The issue is that then you can't have Kruger 2 in Bones in your pair.
That's fair.
So the real interesting thing for this too is, I mean, I'm taking feedback from my friend who played Circle at the beginning of Mark 3, and Balder 1 is boring.
Well, yes, but that has always been Balder 1's problem.
But when you start adding in all these other changes that have happened to the rest of the army, he starts to shine a little bit more. I mean, he's able to take like a ton more wolves.
Balder 1 is the Stricker 1 of Hordes. He's boring and way better than everyone thinks he is.
Yeah, that's true.
Gornus asks, have they dropped the points of Warp Wolves? No.
None of the Warp Wolves went down any more points.
But the Stalker gained a point of Strength, and at 17 points, he's really good.
Pure Blood gained a point of Rat, and Getarex gained Rapid Healing.
So they're all really... Yeah.
Getarex, what?
Ugh. Yeah, Getarex is now Typhon level.
On the Pure Blood makes sense, but I mean, that is also a model that can just boost anyway, so
Rat. The Pure Blood is going to get non-point cost changes because of battle box implications.
Yeah. Also, the Pure Blood, yeah, I mean, I was surprised to see that because at the level the Pure Blood is now, it's perfectly playable in competitive lists, and it just got a significant boost. And I say plus one Rat is significant when you have a magical spray 10
5
gun.
To 6 is a significant change regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
The Stalker looks really good now, and with the point drop.
Actually,
on the
feral. Interesting. The Stalker changes actually do impact Getarex a bunch.
Well, because you're able to then maybe fit in Getarex and a couple Stalkers.
Well, no, it's because normally, before this, Getarex was plus one mat, plus one strength on normal Stalkers. Now he's just plus one mat.
Oh, yeah.
So you could make the argument that it's maybe not worth two extra points?
Yeah, it's 2 extra points now. 17 for Stalker, 19 for
the rapid healing, though, helps out.
It does help, but...
With rapid healing, and he picked up Pathfinder, and he has spiny growth.
Anymore. Correct. He can't... I mean, rapid healing is effectively unyielding on him if you don't have healing prevention.
Yeah.
Is I think the shorthand for that math. So
yeah, it's assuming that you're hitting with things that you expect to do damage, it averages out to plus two armor. If you're if you're hitting stuff that barely does damage, it's better than plus two armor. But it's the POW level you need to be better than plus two armor is a really narrow band. But yeah. He's really good. He was overpriced. Now he's really good because he got cheaper and better.
I mean, that's the one nice thing is Circle's going from one viable list with like two casters to having three really good themes out of this. So,
yeah,
three was the third theme.
Call of the Wild.
Oh yeah, Yeah, I was going to say, Call of the Wild was okay, good in a couple of situations.
It was, but now it's much more, like, you have a lot of flexibility in there because all the goats have gotten significantly better. All the wolves have gotten cheaper except for the Pureblood, who is just more reliable.
Yeah, so, Pureblood got better, the Feral got a lot better, the Stalker got a lot better, all of the goats got better. I'm not sure.
The Riphorn gained plus one strength on its claws and four extra boxes and Pathfinder.
Yeah.
So now he actually has a purpose where he is now the tanky goat in addition to also... I mean, he's actually effectively a Mark II Bronzeback at this point.
Yeah.
Gladiator for output.
Yeah, I was going to say Bronzeback for output. Like,
not out Bronzeback, but he... Gladiator, so...
Shadowhorn looks really good with the changes. Just because the Shadowhorn can walk and then jump and then can grab something and throw them back to the rest of your army. And with elusive as an animus, this makes attacking a Shadowhorn risky because they're going to
and
be
if
a lot.
It fails, it's 11 points.
Yeah,
so you can take two of them.
Yeah, so there are going to be a lot of games that I missed your Shadowhorn. I guess I lose is how the game ends. The Gnarlhorn, I think, is still a little under par, but based on the points he's at, it is a delicate balancing.
He's 12 points, and you can't make him any better, or you run into the Juggernaut problem.
Yeah. The big problem with the Gnarlhorn is that it's going to be a delicate balancing issue, because if he is good at 12 points in most casters, Kaya 3 is going to take 6 of them and eat the world.
Correct. Also, because of Counter Slam, he randomly will win games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just sitting there thinking it was like a Karchev versus Kaya 3 would be kind of an annoying list. The counter slams
versus the counter charge. Yeah, I mean, it's double Bane Knight Mark 1 all over again.
Whose turn is it? Counter slam this time. Yeah.
Arctic Circle asks why the hate on the Wolf Sworn theme. Have you tried to play it?
I think he actually has.
Yeah, it's a theme that I really want to play because I like all the Wolf Sworn pretty much.
I mean, it still probably only works with Tanith or Morvana 2.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably okay with Morvana 2. It's okay with Tanith. It's correct. Just that in general, the Wolfsworn thing has a problem with armor cracking, and it also has the problem that unless you're running double skinwalkers. You're running a lot of little dudes, and the meta as it exists, there are several lists that just completely murder little dudes. I mean, just basically for free. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, Armored Core, if you're playing Wolfsworn, you're going to have a lot of trouble cracking that armor, and then suppression tankers just kill your entire army for free. The assault chariots kill your entire army for free. Sigmar elite kills your entire army
looks
for
at
free.
Your army, just
yeah.
Like, correct. Yeah, Wolfsworn is not as much a bad theme. It's just a bad cycle in the meta for it. Secret Masters is the only actively bad circle theme right now.
Yeah, but I mean, just the meta in general, there are so many ways to just murder a table full of single wound dudes that single wound dudes right now have to be ridiculous to see
one,
play.
One would say that that's been the case for a lot of
Mark
III.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, troop spam is not that thing unless you have ways.
Well, medium spam. Yeah, medium spam is fine. I mean, that's basically. Irrusk. I mean, I say this, and I run Irrusk 2, but I run Irrusk 2 with only one unit, of pikes. And Irrusk 2 has probably. I mean, Irrusk 2 and Legion of Steel has one of the best ways to protect his dudes.
Yeah.
That I mean, nobody else can come particularly close to the things Irrusk can do to it.
Yeah, I mean, that was a thing that caused me to stop playing because I played him at the very beginning of Mark III, and it was my Cephalix, and they need to have so many troops on the field. And
yeah, I say Cephalix, the only hope anymore is to hope you clock your opponent.
Yeah, it's really sad.
No. So I'm not, I mean, just structurally the way Mark III works, both between the way the themes work, the way the models work, and the way so many themes and models in the game just have stuff that they do other things, and then, oh, by the way, we kill single wound dudes. There's going to have to be significant structural changes or just ridiculously overpowered stuff before we see single wound spam. And Wolf's Warren just kind of fall into that. I mean, this is kind of the thing that we have one of our local troll players who has been nicknamed the Salt Elemental likes to point out that
Jake,
which one?
Old Jake.
Yeah, that's true.
I confused the fuck out of him at work. So go ahead and finish your Salt Elemental story.
Yeah, but I mean, this as he loves to point out that every time they come out with something to tick against tough, because steady tough is a thing in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. But every time somebody ticks against this new list that is built around tough, oh, they just kill trolls accidentally and single wound.
That's been the story of War Machine.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's
in fluff and rules.
And single wound dudes are like that, except squared, because you don't have to tick against single wound dudes. You've got stuff in your list that kills single wound dudes because the design group at Privateer Press is terrified of single wound dudes taking over again.
Yeah. So new Jake, better Jake, gave me a Glacier King to give to old Jake. And I took the, because Jake works in my...
Yeah, that's true.
In my work now. So I just dropped it off at his desk. And he sent me like a frantic email. Like, where did you drop this off? And I'm like, no.
I was like, tell him Geezy did it.
Who dropped this stuff? Because, you know, any of you have ever met Jake, all you have to do is look at him just off and immediately think it's his Christian upbringing that makes him feel guilty about something. His
Catholic upbringing.
Sorry, that is, yeah. he'll feel immediately guilty that he did something wrong, and he was a little paranoid about how a Glacier King got onto his desk at work. But yeah,
all right, bring on the Zappities.
So yeah, we got a couple of Zappity Grumbles. This one is from Terry of Destiny. Asks which faction in Gwent or War Machine in Hordes is the Packers, and which leader in Gwent or Warnown in War Machine or Hordes is Aaron Rodgers? I mean, we have Dan, who's no sport.
I mean, I've lived in Wisconsin for 25 years, so cannot escape this to the point where I'm actually having to legitimately think about this one.
It's got to be Circle, because it's the green and gold.
Who's their number one then?
Which is the faction that's most crippled when their Warnown gets incapacitated?
Any of them.
I know.
Well, but if they lose their caster, that kind of sucks.
But I mean, even more so. Oh, no, they're Mercs. Because he's Mark II Ashlyn. He's knocked down, they immediately lose.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble. all right, yeah, that was perfect. All right, and then Sean, one of our awesome patrons, asks, the world is flooding. You can only save two things from the rising flood. He said raising flood waters instead of rising flood waters. Raisin flood waters. So we're being flooded in raisins.
Yeah,
That changes my answer.
What do you save and why? So, I mean, basically, miniatures I give two shits about.
Correct.
Because they'll survive the flood.
So,
basically, I would be trying to save my Warhammer Quest. Because that thing is 20 years out of print, and it is an amazingly fun game.
So, since I know multiple people who had their entire basements flood, the common theme was grab the file box and then grab a few pictures.
Oh yeah,
and that's basically and then except everything else is gone, because that's about how much time you have before it hits floodwaters hits the outlets.
Yeah, yeah. And I know Sean lost a lot of stuff in his basement too. I think he flooded out twice for his area. Mm-hmm.
But so, yeah, I was when they were telling the story, I'm like, yeah, you have time to get stuff out. And they're like, no, the outlets are only a foot off the floor. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
about that one.
Yeah. It sucks.
Mm-hmm. It really sucked for my boss because he had just finished like putting new appliances in his basement so he could sell the house.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, the one thing that I've seen people do, too, is they've seen people rip out all the
I mean, his house is salvageable, but he just had to basically strip out all the drywall, put in a new HVAC system, new appliances, re-drywall everything, so it just set him back 2 months.
The drywall is not too bad, because that if you can actually get it dry quick enough, it's...
I mean, he had 9 feet of water in it, so...
Well, then that's an issue, yes. If you're talking just like a foot or two, then, yeah, you could probably dry it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the... When I bought a house in New York a couple decades ago, I thought it was weird that all of the outlets in the basement were at elbow height. And then we had 2 feet of water in the basement. I was like, huh, this was a good idea.
Oh, that definitely is a sign. If I'm ever buying a house, I will look for that in the basement to make sure. Because, yeah. Oh, damn.
I mean, either that or they're running all the wiring from the ceiling and they're lazy. I've seen that one though too.
Yeah. I mean that could have been, but when we had a couple feet of water, it was helpful. So I'm assuming that was the strategy.
Mm. Makes sense.
Also, a boat that's good in a flood.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah. I've only really, I mean, when I had a basement flood out, this is when I lived with my parents' place. It did get me out of school for a day, and it wasn't actually, unfortunately, it wasn't. Wasn't like actual water. It was all sewage backup. And that's not the fun water you want in your basement.
Ah, that sounds really shitty.
Zappity. Crumble. So you had to live in the world of a board game you dislike. What game do you choose?
Right, live in the world of a board game you dislike?
Dislike.
So we already live in life, so.
I mean, like... No, not life. No.
I mean, it is technically a board game, and it we is. All dislike it. And we do already live in it.
Are you sure it's not Monopoly we live in?
I mean, is that better?
I'm not saying it's better, but I'm saying, are you sure that's not a more accurate description of it?
I mean, if you lived in Monopoly, you'd live in New Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hard one to choose because there's so many board games I don't like. I mean, yeah.
Something, 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 Warhammer Quest, something, something. Actually.
I know which board game I would not want to live in. Does it have to be Y? And what game do you choose? Okay, so we don't have to say why we choose that board game. Mine would be Riot Quest, just because...
Are you allowed to hate something that's not out yet? Save your hate for when it releases.
Well, I mean, we saw the teaser video. We're allowed.
The teaser video is, yeah. If that was it had to live in the world, I mean, I don't know.
Hold on. Non-Euclidean Nick, clarification, which Firefly board game?
Yeah.
Continue talking. Yeah. He'll get back to us in a minute.
Yeah, it depends on, yeah.
Because.
I live in the Sons of Anarchy, which is basically our world. But Sons of Anarchy, that game is actually pretty good, though. So, well, I'm having a hard time thinking of actual board games that I really don't like playing.
Well, I mean, this is at the same time that it was a couple of weeks ago that somebody was saying, it's like, what fantasy world would you want to live in? And I was like, give me Equestria, because all the other fantasy worlds we care about are terrible. And it's like, that's why there's an interesting story, is because terrible things happen to people all the time. So I just say Candyland.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing bad in Candyland.
Yeah.
There literally is, as far as I know, there is nothing bad in Candyland. And that was from my limited knowledge of the product when I was a kid. He was like, I don't think there was anything.
But just think of the dentistry.
There's no, like, villain in that world. It's just...
I mean, the cavity creeps.
But that wasn't in Candyland.
I know, but they'll show up.
No. Stop trying to rain on the parade. Oh, so I think Nick is actually talking about...
The Gale Force 9 one.
The Gale Force 9 Firefly game, which... Nick, you're wrong. That game is amazing. Nick,
just to let you know, Geezy is preparing to do the hit on you. He will probably be killing you with the Firefly board game map that he has, because I think you could beat someone to death with that.
Yeah, with the amount of shit that he has for that game. Yeah, you're wrong. That game is awesome. It just sucks. Were you one of the people just that ended up with Reavers on their ass immediately? Oh. So you can not only could he and Nick just tell us that he used to cheat his colorblind grandfather big time in Candyland. Dirty. So we should jump to recommendations.
We should.
Yeah. Because Packer game is about to start soon, and fucking goddamn Rodimus Prime showed up. So we gotta leave chat soon.
Everything Andy hates. The Bears, Rodimus Prime.
Yeah.
Podcasting.
Yeah, podcasting. That definitely is one of my top five. So recommendations. I'm gonna recommend a series that's on Netflix. It's called like The Toys When
Toys That Made Us?
Yes, The Toys That Made Us. I just got done watching the first two of this one, which was Transformers
and Star Wars.
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Yeah. Going over everything about Star Wars and Transformers, Star Trek. They basically go over everything on there. It's all about toys. So if you enjoyed the toys, you're old as I am, and you enjoyed those toys as you grew up, then this is an awesome show. Some of the cool things I did go into with Transformers was pretty neat to see.
I need to get back to that one. I saw it when it first came out. I watched about 15 minutes, and I had to leave to do something, so it went on my favorite list.
Oh.
But at least it's a Netflix original, so it'll not go away.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty cool series. Yeah. No.
To go with the earlier theme about the Kentucky's awesome win yesterday, I'm going to recommend not celebrating your college winning a football game by flipping a car over and setting shit on fire, because people really grow up.
But how is UW Oshkosh supposed to do anything?
Do they win football games?
I don't know. They just riot.
That
was your recommendation, is don't riot?
Yeah, basically, do not celebrate winning a game by setting shit on fire.
Do you think anybody from Kentucky listens to this podcast?
When he's not on it, he listens to it.
I don't know. I know one player who lives in Louisville who might listen. I don't know. All right.
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
It was a very busy week for work for me.
You can recommend Dead Cells then, too.
I could just recommend Dead Cells.
I'll second that recommendation.
Yeah, I'll third it.
Yep. There we go.
I've only got maybe about 5 to 6 more blueprints to
I mean, that farm. Just means every current member of this cast has recommended it then.
Yeah.
Independently.
Yeah. Brian will play it. Brian's not on the cast, though.
Correct. So.
Nathan has yet to come into the cast to recommend it since
it's recommended it a year ago.
So. He did recommend it a year ago, but he has not been able to make it to a cast to recommend it.
And Gornis, the whole world doesn't listen to us, just the NSA.
No, Rogers is not hurt. Shut up.
I say, nice try, Rodimus, but our phones would have all already have exploded from notifications of that had happened.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're out.
Yep. Also, next week we're going to have to harass Nathan next week or whenever he gets back for being late to the bus for recommending Dead Cells.
You can do that all you want.
Yeah, you want to get stabbed.
I will do the standard offer, which is, does Cassie need someone to help hawk all your War Machine stuff? Because I will gladly help.
Yeah. Yeah, because
actually, that's a better offer than most. Normally, I don't check with the spouse first. I'll just tell people I'm going to loot their basement, but...
Yeah, Nathan, it's kind of funny, though. Since the game has come out, he has not been on a podcast.
No. Yeah.
Because Nathan's been gone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan's got stories, so definitely tune in next week if we can make
story
sure
time,
that Nathan's...
It's story time with Nathan coming up next week on Crippled System.
Yeah, he's got some doozies.
Things have happened.
Things have happened. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yep.
So not exactly for Nathan, but... Kind
for the
of
most
good,
part.
Kind of bad.
net good.
Yeah, he still has to get me the file so I can use that for a new intro.
Yeah, I would say net. Well, yeah, okay. Net medium to mostly good. Anyways, we've teased it enough. Good night, everyone.
See you guys.
Good night.
I didn't click the button yet.
God damn it, Andy.
Should I click the button to stop this thing?
I'll start spoiling the game for you.
What game? The Packer game?
Oh, yeah.
You can't spoil that for me.
I have the power of the internet.
Well, that's fine.